spacious skies for amber waves of grain.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, at least till the half hour. We have with us Warren Smith, and we're going to be talking about the great apostasy that I feel is sweeping the Protestant Church in America today, but it's also getting into the Catholic Church as well. It's called the Purpose-Driven Life, the Purpose-Driven Church. And Warren has written a wonderful book. It's called Deceived on Purpose. What is the real purpose of the Purpose-Driven Church? Now, there are a lot of wonderful people out there who've been to the programs, who've taken the 40 Days of Purpose, and they don't see anything wrong with it. I know so many of my good friends have done this, and of course they're very defensive, they're very almost angry at me because I dare to speak out against what this is about. But well, I'm going to let Warren Smith, who came out of the New Age, who became a born-again Christian, and then one day he began to read some of the material from the literature that's being put out for this new brand of Christianity, because it is a new brand of Christianity. Certainly John MacArthur, one of the great ministers of our time, in a 4 or 5 videotape sets, says, "Does truth matter?" Points out that the catastrophic effect of a similar program in England 100 years ago, when Charles Spurgeon, the great minister of his day, spoke out against what was happening as they began to sort of water down, just change a little bit the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it more relevant to society. Well, of course, he was driven from his pulpit, and today England is a second-rate godless nation. Warren, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got involved, and, of course, what you found as you began studying the Purpose-Driven Church, because it sounds so great, and certainly they have great and wonderful ideas. They're going to make the church grow. It's going to be successful. It's going to change the world, and that's what Rick Warren says. It's for the whole world, but how is it going to change it?
Well, just to back up, I probably would be best just to describe how I got involved in the New Age. I was just a day-to-day social worker in Northern California, working with a variety of peoples, and a woman, actually, that I was courting said that she wanted me to see a psychic that was a friend of a friend of hers, and to please her, really. It wasn't so much even my spiritual curiosity, but it was just to please her. I went and saw this psychic. And in the midst of the reading that I was getting, I felt a weird sensation over my head. And I knew it wasn't just like my own nervousness. There was something external going on. And she said, "Are you aware that there's a ball of light over your head right now?" And I said, "I don't know what it is, but I can feel it." And she told me that it meant that I had a lot of help on the other side. And she encouraged me to invite the other side into my life to help me in my spiritual life. She said that I wasn't very spiritual and I needed some help. And it sounded like, you know, kind of a good thing at the time. So I did that. And my life took off like a rocket ship into the New Age. I got involved with all sorts of things, channelers, most specifically through a little book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. Dr. Gerald Jampolsky introduced me to A Course in Miracles, which is what I found out later to be a total upside-down version of the Bible. It's been popularized by Marianne Williamson. Oprah Winfrey's endorsed it and endorsed Marianne Williamson's book about the Course. And I got very involved in these teachings. The Course in Miracles basically says that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. It says that we're all Christ, we're all God, we're all one.
Hold that thought right there. Sure, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Warren Smith, and we're talking about the book he has written called Deceived on Purpose. And I realize that many, many of our listeners out there probably go to churches that have taken the 40 Days of Purpose and really believe this is a great program, and it's going to bring increased spiritual enlightenment, and of course it's going to change the world, because that's what Rick Warren says. We are really going to change the entire world with it, and I really believe that they are going to change the entire world with it, but how are they going to change the world, and what will the world look like as we begin moving away from the traditional Christian teaching and the traditions of our scriptures? Because of course now we don't have one scripture, we have 15 or 20 different, at least 15 different translations of the Bible, and of course the Bible is the Word of God, but of course which translation? And of course, when you get to some of the translations that Rick Warren advocates, why, as you'll find out as we talk with Warren Smith, our guest today, why they come right out of the New Age and the occult. That's specifically the translation called The Message. And if you haven't read it, you haven't read The 40 Days of Purpose, read it and understand how often Rick Warren refers to this new translation of the Bible, the new Bible, the new... Well, pick this story up. Warren is telling us that he had gotten involved with the occult by going to a medium, and the medium told him that there was sort of a whirring over his head. There was a ball of light over his head, which meant, of course, there were forces out there that wanted to contact him and work through him. And as he did this, he actually began to get... You almost got a certain amount of supernatural power, did you?
I wouldn't say it's so much supernatural power as supernatural direction. A lot of things started to happen in my life that seemed like they were meant to be, like they were being divinely orchestrated. There's a real common saying these days that it was meant to be, that it's not by accident. There's a reason for everything. And what I found out after my New Age experience is that there are two ways that we're approached by these seemingly meant to be experiences. One is by the Lord and one is by the enemy. We are tempted, and we can't just say because certain circumstances are happening in our life that it's necessarily divine or from God. But I didn't know that. I had no real understanding of the Bible, and I was accepting a lot of the New Age teachings. I had mentioned that Jerry Jampolsky had introduced me to A Course in Miracles through his little book, Love is Letting Go of Fear. And I just progressed through a number of different experiences. I worked with a channeler in Napa Valley for a while, and it was only... after about 5 years in, I started in 1979 and came down to right around Christmas in 1983, my wife and I actually had to deal with what felt to be kind of a malevolent presence. And
Hold that thought right there for a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Warren Smith, and he's talking about his experience in the New Age. And, of course, he felt a presence, a malevolent presence there. They begin after 5 years or more in this New Age and the occult movement, begin really realizing something was wrong. They've been introduced to the Course in Miracles, which, of course, is very, very popular, not only in certain within the occult, but even some of the so-called Christian churches will introduce these concepts into the religion, and we'll get into more of that later. So you pick up the story. About 1983, you feel this malevolent presence, and then what happens?
Yeah, it was Christmas 1983. We had tried all of our New Age solutions in dealing with this presence. In the New Age, listeners need to understand that the New Age says that there is no such thing as evil. It's an illusion. So we tried to take responsibility for what we were experiencing by feeling like, well, maybe it's something inside of us. Maybe we're just looking in a metaphysical mirror and we're looking at the evil that's really, you know, or not evil, but the darkness or the confusion that's inside of us. But it didn't work. Our Course in Miracles teachers sent love and light. We did little healing circles and nothing worked. And right about Christmas time, 1983, just right around that time, I was in a bookstore in Hermosa Beach, and I was looking in the New Age section, and I saw a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. Turns out it was a Christian book. I believe that was no accident. That book was placed there by the Lord. And as I read the book, it started to describe how evil was real. It talked about, you know, she mentioned a solution that I'd never seen before, never heard of before, seriously discussed, and I wrote it down. And the next day when this presence was there again, I did exactly what she said, and I basically said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be gone. I forbid your presence here. I claim the presence of the protection of the blood of Jesus upon us. Go where Jesus sends you. And the presence immediately left. And I realized in that moment that there was something very, very peculiar and serious and true about the cross of Calvary and Jesus' death on the cross, where evil and sin and everything was defeated there. Satan was defeated on the cross. So I realized that the Course in Miracles, which said there was no Satan, no evil, that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey, I realized there was a real disconnect, and it took a few months of pouring through the Course in Miracles and the Bible and realizing that I had been greatly deceived. And then all the scriptures in the Bible just came flying out because they described, for instance, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." That's exactly what we did. My wife and I were following people like Jerry Jampolsky in A Course in Miracles. So we came to a very dramatic understanding that Christianity was actually true, and those of us that were in the New Age had a lot of condescending disdain for traditional Christianity. We just thought just about anything else was probably true, and it was really ironic, and it was very humbling to realize that the truth was right there in the Bible. And so that was 1984 when we actually converted. And then I wrote a book in 1992 called The Light That Was Dark, and that was our testimony. And I posed the question at that time, and actually a warning that the church was moving into a lot of this deception. Then, Stan, as you know, just a couple years ago, I wrote another book called Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel. We've talked about that on your program. And I was talking about how the New Age over the last 10 years has just grown proliferously, and that after September 11th, a lot of New Age leaders poured onto TV talking about the need for a new gospel, a new spirituality to bring peace into the world. And it was just amazing to me to see how there was almost no response by Christian leaders. And in that book, Reinventing Jesus Christ, I asked the question, why are Christian leaders not contending for the faith? And specifically, Neil Donald Walsh, who's one of the premier New Age leaders, his books about his conversations with God have topped the New York Times bestseller list, one of them for 2.5 years. And most Christians and most Christian leaders don't even know who he is. And in his conversations with God, God told him that, quote, the era, and when I say God, that's his God, the New Age God, false God, not the true God. Neil Donald Walsh's God said, quote, the era of the single Savior is over. I mean, period. And I thought, well, this is going to arouse some kind of a response from Christian leaders. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a, contending for the faith that would come. And other than one lone pastor in Iowa, I wasn't aware of anybody doing that. There was a book that I think we talked about on your program, Dr. Stan, called From the Ashes, A Spiritual Response to the Attack on America. It was a combination of articles by Christian leaders and New Age leaders. In this book, there were articles by Charles Colson, Billy Graham, Jerry Jenkins, a number of other people, Bill Hybels, and a pastor that I'd never heard of before by the name of Rick Warren. It just said Pastor Rick Warren. They wrote articles, and so did the New Age people, and they were all kind of mixed together in this book.
Now, why would the Christian ministers participate in a book that contained writings by the New Age? Because a lot of Christians would read that and believe that, as long as you have a leading Christian leaders writing in a book, that the occult writers were, of course, coming from a Christian point of view, and what they said was everybody would have merit. Why would they do that?
I'm not sure. The book was a fundraiser for the victims of September 11th. I think it was not wise to do that because there were a number of things that were written in the book that were very alarming. And I'll give you an example. Just pages from Bishop T.D. Jakes' opening article, Neil Donald Walsh, who has co-founded the Global Renaissance Alliance with Marianne Williamson, New Age leaders have banded together, and they have a single unified purpose, and that's to bring the New Age into the church and into the world. Neil Donald Walsh issued this challenge, and this is in the book that Rick Warren and Billy Graham and all the rest of them are in. He said, We must change ourselves. We must change the beliefs upon which our behaviors are based. We must create a different reality, build a new society. We must do so with new spiritual truths. We must preach a new gospel, its healing message summarized in two sentences. We are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way. Now, this is the thing, Dr. Stan, that really amazed me. He actually said this in this book. He said, this 15-word message delivered from every lectern and pulpit, from every rostrum and platform, could change everything overnight. I challenge every priest, every minister, and every rabbi and religious cleric to preach this. And I was just amazed. Neither Rick Warren or any of those men that I'm aware of have responded to that challenge.
And what is the challenge? What are those 15 words that he wants repeated over and over and over again?
We are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way. And when he says we are all one, his God defines oneness as follows. God is creation. You are the creator and the created. You are already a God. You simply do not know it. The only solution is the ultimate truth. Nothing exists in the universe that is separate from anything else. There is only one of us. You and I are one. In other words, humanity is God. God is in everyone.
And that, of course, is pantheism. It's one of the basic doctrines of paganism, and it's being pushed in this book, which I'm sure many Christians read without ever realizing that this was not a Christian belief. But after all, and I'm sure that Billy Graham and probably Rick Warren and the others had no idea the implications of what they were doing when they allowed their names to be associated with this belief.
I think that that's definitely true. I think the question is, once they saw what Neil Donald Walsh had written, why wouldn't they respond to it? What a great opportunity to contend for the faith. One of the things that troubles me, one of the many things that troubles me about Rick Warren's book is that he talks about the five purposes of God, but there are five purposes as defined by Rick Warren, and contending for the faith is not one of them. And unfortunately, there's almost nothing being said about the New Age, which is now calling itself the New Gospel and the New Spirituality. They've sort of shed that skin of the New Age because people were starting to direct some attention. And they're getting very little play anywhere in amongst Christian leaders. And that's opened the door to some of the deception that's moving in. I believe right now that the New Age is basically setting a trap for the Christian church. And unfortunately, because Rick Warren is not evidencing a lot of spiritual discernment, we're walking into that trap.
And of course, one of the things you point out in your book, Deceived on Purpose, is his reference repeatedly to this new gospel, this new translation of the Holy Scriptures called the Message. And as you analyze that with your background in the New Age, you point out how often the phraseology there and the terminology comes right out of the New Age.
Yeah, I think just two quick examples of how dangerous the message is. It's described as a paraphrase, and many pastors are saying that you can use it as a devotional, and I would argue that it's neither. When I came to the understanding of how greatly I'd been deceived, I had believed in the New Age that I was a part of Christ. That was part of the teaching of A Course in Miracles. And one of the scriptures that really, you know, clarified for me how badly I'd been deceived and that I was actually one of the people Jesus was warning us to watch out for was Matthew 24, 4 to 5. I had been given a King James Bible by a woman when I was in the New Age. She was so concerned about me, she had given me this Bible. She didn't give me the Message. A lot of people are giving unbelievers the Message. She gave me the King James, and I'm glad she did. In that scripture, Jesus says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I was able to see that I was one of those that was calling myself a part of the Christ, and that I was exactly what Jesus was warning me to watch out for, and everyone else to watch out for. Unfortunately, in the Message, his paraphrase, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, is not at all accurate. It says, Jesus said, watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, I am Christ the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people. I wasn't a doomsday deceiver, and I wasn't a leader with a forged identity. I never would have recognized myself. I probably would have never left the New Age.
And, of course, isn't Rick Warren very much against the King James Version, telling people not to read that? It's so 400 years old and really not.
Well, he actually, do we have time for the quote, or should we do it when we come back?
We'll do that when we get back. We'll be back in just a moment. And I think there's reason to be very concerned. But the changes are very subtle. and yet very profound. We'll be back in just a moment and discuss a little bit more, and then we'll open up for questions. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape. Geopolitics, it is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Warren Smith, and of course we're talking about this movement that is sweeping America. And of course, people say, well, you shouldn't be so divisive, you shouldn't be critical, but I think if we really are moving away from the traditions of Christianity, somebody has to speak out, and certainly we're finding very, very few people are willing to do this because they don't want to be controversial, or they don't want to be criticized. And yet, of course, when we begin to change the music of the churches, and we begin to bring in music that does not honor the Lord, as we begin to change the translations that are used, and we say, oh, well, do away with those other translations. You want something modern, like the Message, for instance, and yet, of course, it has based in the occult. When we began, of course, to use psychological management techniques in the church, because that's what this is all about. It is a management technique having nothing to do with Christianity. It has to do with controlling people to the point where they dare not speak out. They have to, of course, swear allegiance and sign an agreement not, of course, to be critical of anything that is being foisted upon them. What does this have to do with freedom in Christ? Well, you pick up the story. We were talking about the fact that people are told that these old translations of the Bible are really, of course, are not applicable to the modern-day world. Would you like to get into that, Warren?
Yeah, I'd just like to say a quick thing, and I know that you're going to have callers calling in, but I hope we can just kind of do at least a summary of some of the problems that I saw with Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I was very surprised that Rick Warren said in his previous book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and this is a quote, "Read Scripture from a newer translation. With all the wonderful translations and paraphrases available today, there's no legitimate reason for complicating the good news with 400-year-old English. Using the King James Version creates an unnecessary cultural barrier. Clarity is more important than poetry." Well, Stan, you know, the King James Bible saved my life, and I'm glad that woman that gave me that when I was in the New Age gave it to me and not the Message. In the Message, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Eugene Peterson inserts a phrase called, basically just says, as above, so below. That's instead of saying in earth as it is in heaven. And as you know, Stan, that's a key to the mysteries. That's an ancient Egyptian esoteric New Age magical saying. I went on the internet and tried to find some good version of that. I even put as above, so below with Christianity, and I ended up with mystical Christianity, esoteric Christianity, magical Christianity. It's unbelievable that Eugene Peterson put that in there. If he didn't know what he was doing, I don't know what spirit would have led him to put in what is described as in the New Age Journal. The New Age Journal editors actually have a book called As Above, So Below, and they talk about how that phrase represents the key to oneness, which is the immanence of God, that God is in everything. And what I found was that same idea of the immanence of God, God being in everything, was actually presented in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. On page 88, he says about God, quote, and he's quoting this New Century Version Bible, which I found on a Robert Schuller website. Rick Warren says, "The Bible says about God, he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything." And when I read that, I just went, what are you doing, Rick? That is the New Age. That's the key. That's what they're trying to do. That's the way they're trying to leech the church into the New Age. And I was really surprised that in his Foundations course at Saddleback, he actually says this in their participants guide about God. He says, quote, well, this is actually his wife and one of the pastors, but it's what they use at Saddleback, quote, "He is both transcendent, above and beyond his creation, and immanent within and throughout his creation." This whole idea of immanence is actually the key to everything going into the New Age. The New Age Journal, they said, quote, in their book As Above, So Below, they said, "This maxim implies that the transcendent God beyond the physical universe and the immanent God within ourselves are one." Benjamin Krem has actually said,
now for our listeners, Benjamin Krem is one of the leading occultists today. He is the sort of the John the Baptist of a man who claims to be Maitreya. He is the new Christ. He is certainly the Messiah of the Christians, the Christ of the Christians, the Messiah of the Jews, the Imam Mahdi of the Muslim. He is the Krishna of the Hindu. But this man, Benjamin Krem, is his representative, who is of course promoting his coming forward as the leader for the religions of all the world. So what does Benjamin Krem have to say about this term?
Benjamin Krem says, and I'm quoting from his book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, he says, quote, "But eventually a new world religion will be inaugurated, which will be a fusion and synthesis of the approach of the East and the approach of the West. The Christ will bring together not simply Christianity and Buddhism, but the concept of God transcendent outside of his creation, and also the concept of God immanent in all creation, in man, and all creation." It's the same immanent aspect of God, and it's so dangerous that Rick Warren and other Christian leaders aren't differentiating and talking about what they mean when they say imminence. Imminence would be the Holy Spirit in believers, but not God in everyone and everything.
Well, of course, I think that many ministers really don't understand the background of this, and they're misled.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is, or has been, a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you will understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards
of common
dental
practices.
Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved of this ad. I'm seeking the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party, and one of the reasons I'm running is to put the interest of American workers first, which President Bush is not doing. Mr. Bush has advocated an immigration plan that would let millions of illegal aliens stay in our country, and the chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors has praised what is called outsourcing, which will send millions of American jobs overseas. In other words, Mr. Bush is importing illegal cheap labor and exporting good-paying jobs that should stay in America. Well, this makes no sense. Such policies are outrageous at a time when so many Americans are looking for jobs and want to work. The sad fact is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are looking out for American workers first. As president, I would put our people first. I hope you'll look at my webpage, perutka2004.com, that's P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A-2004.com, and remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
Authorized and paid for by Perutka 2004.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Warren Smith, and we're going to open up our lines because there may be people out there who disagree, and we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You know, there are a lot of people who tell us, oh, isn't it wonderful we're having revival? Why, more people are coming to church, and of course they're being saved, but what are they being saved into? Are they being saved into typical and traditional Christianity? Are they being changed into a new, more tolerant, more universal form of religion that would be just as acceptable to someone from the Muslim faith or the Hindu faith or from some other faith, because we're increasingly getting away from the basics of the scriptures. The ministers don't preach out of the scriptures today. They've taken the awe, the magnificence of God out. The minister often, of course, it doesn't wear a coat and a tie. He's very casual. He doesn't stand behind the podium. He walks back and forth. We don't, of course, go for the scriptures. We go to film clips or various other things. Church has become entertaining. It's short. It's quick. We can get in. We can get out. We paid our dues, and of course, we're good for the next week. And of course, we're not going to be told that we're sinners saved by grace, that we really do need a Savior, that there is a hell. We never talk about hell anymore. We never talk about eternal punishment. In fact, everything is, well, how do you get along in this world? And we've changed the whole management structure. In fact, you can get your sermons if you're a minister. You can go up on Rick Warren's page. You can pull down your sermon. Because your time is to be put into management. How do you control the people in the church? How do you reform their views for the new religion? This religion which Rick Warren says is going to change the world. And of course, the trouble is, if you read Warren Smith's wonderful book, Deceived on Purpose, you'll find that the teachings here are not those of Rick Warren. They're the teachings of Robert Schuller, a very controversial minister in Southern California, who Robert Schuller readily admits that Rick Warren is his student. Rick Warren doesn't admit that that Peter Drucker and Robert Schuller are his mentors. So pick up the story there, Warren.
Yeah, I was surprised when all I knew about Rick Warren when I started his book was what I'd seen his name in From the Ashes, that book that I mentioned earlier. And as I read along, one of the first things that really troubled me, besides, you know, his dependence on the message, was that he was doing things like, all of a sudden he would introduce like a New Age leader like Bernie Siegel. He just nonchalantly says, Bernie Siegel says, and he talks about Bernie Siegel in regards to purpose, and uses him in reference to purpose. And I thought to myself, why is he using Bernie Siegel? And why would he do that? Bernie Siegel is on the board of advisors of Jerry Jampolsky's Attitudinal Healing Center. Bernie Siegel has a spirit guide named George that advises him, and I couldn't figure out why would he be doing that. So I went online and I found out that Robert Schuller had described Bernie Siegel as one of the greatest doctors of the 20th century, and that Bernie Siegel had actually endorsed Robert Schuller's 1995 book about prayer. It was a spiritual autobiography that Schuller had done. I started to realize that so much of what I was seeing, the more I read Robert Schuller, the more I was the more I read The Purpose-Driven Life, the more I found Robert Schuller, and I was shocked at how many of Rick Warren's thoughts, ideas, references, terms, phrases, quotes from The Purpose-Driven Life seemed to be directly inspired by Schuller's writings and teachings. Interestingly, as I was making my point that Rick Warren was really a disciple of Robert Schuller, all of a sudden on April 4th of this year, Robert Schuller comes out on his Hour of Power program and says the following, quote, "And there's Rick Warren, a pastor who today is phenomenal. He came to our institute time after time. And in Christianity Today, his wife was quoted as saying, when we came to that institute, we were blown away." What I realized, Dr. Stan, is that, and also, by the way, Schuller just recently said, and I'm quoting, "Yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being." Shortly after he made that statement about God's immanence, which takes us back into that New Age stuff again, the new spirituality, shortly after that, he was a featured speaker at the National Association of Evangelicals. And in that meeting, he said that Self-Esteem, The New Reformation, was the best book that he ever wrote. That book was actually commended by Neil Donald Walsh and His God. They called Schuller an extraordinary minister and quoted from his book. And what I found is that a lot of the material in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, actually refers back to the same book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. His reference, Rick Warren's reference to God's dream for you and the world, that's the name of his peace plan. By the way, his peace plan is a parallel to Neil Donald Walsh's peace plan, which is also an acronym on the word peace. And this whole idea of God's dream is not found in the Bible, but you can find the whole notion of God's dream in the teachings of Alice Bailey. And there's so much overlap and so many parallel things here that
Now, for our listeners, Alice Bailey, of course, was the leading occultist or Luciferian during the first half of the 20th century. She actually channeled 24 books from a spirit guide. I believe it was named Dua Kool.
Right.
And then, of course, she was cast aside and died. But, of course, she was a great admirer of the occult. She was a disciple of Luciferian Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. So, you know, I'm interested that you find these same ideas in Bailey's writings that you find in modern-day New Age writings.
The interesting thing is that this concept of God's dream has been talked about by Robert Schuller, I found, in his teachings going back years, and it's specifically in this book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. Rick Warren is now talking about the new Reformation.
Well, where does it come from in the Bible, though?
There's no reference to God, to God's dream.
Of course, this seems to be more of a creation of man, then.
Right, and actually I'd go beyond that. If it's creation of the spirit world, then we saw that in the teachings of Alice Bailey.
All right, let's go to Derek, who's calling from Tennessee. Derek, are you there?
Hey, yeah, Dr. Stan, I'm here.
I have a question.
Well, actually, I have a few comments and yeah, some questions for Mr. Smith. My comments aren't about Rick Warren necessarily as much as it is about the King James Version. I think that it's very important that we're very careful about what we're saying, because there are certain people that really have no idea about the English language or about the King James Version and how it came about.
We don't want to get into a long discourse on the King James Version. We're really talking about, of course, this whole other movement. But are you for or against the King James Version?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of being for or against. I think what it is being for what people understand.
I see. How do you
think the thing, you know, Dr. Stan, I'd like to reply to that. I think the thing that I was more concerned about than anything was the fact that Rick Warren was discouraging people from using the King James, mm-hmm. and that Bible was the Bible that I that he was putting down. Putting down that Bible version was of great concern to someone who got saved by that particular version.
Right, and people get saved from the King James version as well. But I come at this from the perspective of working with youth for over a year, and if you sit down with the youth and you have a King James version in front of them, many of them have no idea about some of the old Elizabethan words that are in the King James Version.
Well, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but we're getting a little bit off subject, but I want to address what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think that the huge mistake is that the argument would be that the King James is hard for kids to understand, so let's go to something like the Message. Then you look at the Message, and the Message takes away so much of the heart of the gospel. It
right.
waters it down, and I mentioned that occult phrase that's right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, as above, so below. It takes away a lot of the prophetic things that helped me to understand how I was deceived. If there was a really, really good paraphrase that really was true to God's word, that would be one thing. The Message is not it.
Let's get Derek's view. Derek, what do you feel that we should make Christianity then more something that the youth would like? Maybe we ought to have rock music because they identify with that, and of course we should have a more modern translation because they'll identify with that, and even if it means we have to change the gospel a little bit so that they'll be more popular?
Well, I would say no to that. I think what I would say is that the meaning has not changed, but the method has. And I think to get across to a lot of these youth that some of those things do need to happen because the culture has changed.
Who changed the culture?
It's a natural evolution.
Is it a natural evolution, or is it somebody is out there trying to change our culture away from a Christ-centered culture towards a more modern or more progressive or more tolerant or more universal culture?
That is possible, but you have to say what is the right Christian culture.
Are we at a better Christian culture now than we were 50 years ago?
I'm really not sure.
I see. Well, I am, and I think we're in a terrible Christian culture. Do you have one more thing that you'd like to say? Because we're getting way away from the subject at hand. Go ahead.
That's fine. I just wanted to make that comment just say, you know, reading level is one of those things, too. The Message might be on a totally lower reading level for individuals, so they might be able to understand it better.
Well, of course, it's even easier to read something like Harry Potter. That's a very easy thing to read. Should we be recommending people read Harry Potter on witchcraft? Because it's easy to read.
Absolutely not.
I think this man has a really good point, which is we need to find ways to explain the gospel to youth that might not be able to easily read, you know, the Bible for themselves. I think the answer is that you cannot go to something that has poor teachings or has occult sayings in it. The Message is not the answer. There's many, many things that we could point out in the Message. But I think what it takes is a good teacher who can help explain these things to the kids. But the answer is not to give a poor Bible or a poor translation to them.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I would like to move on.
If the Message is it, then we don't need to be teaching from that.
All right, fine. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for calling it. So you're not, what translation are you using with the children?
I use the NIV.
All right, fine. What music are you using? What songs are you singing?
We sing worship, praise and worship songs, usually Hillsong or something of that nature.
What's wrong with the old Gospels that had so much doctrine in them?
Oh, I enjoy them.
Except, well, what about for the children?
Except that people get really afraid when you talk about being washed in the blood or going to, you know, there is a fountain filled with blood.
What's wrong with the blood of Christ? That was the very essence of our salvation. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that gave us our freedom.
Absolutely, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just saying that there are a lot of people that do have a problem with that.
Now maybe we ought to teach them about the Scriptures. Hey, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Roger, you have a question, please.
Yeah, just a very quick comment.
Roger, just a question.
Yes,
we want to get back to our subject.
Yeah, I know. Somebody did a study of what is said to be the most arcane usages of the King James. They're found daily in the New York Times. Go back to the Southwest Radio Church archives a few months back. God bless you all.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anyway, let's get back to our subject at hand, which is, of course, your book, which is Deceived on Purpose, which is commenting that certainly there is a conscious effort to change Christianity. That seems to be the whole thrust of this movement, isn't it?
I think what's happening is I think that by trying so hard to please everybody, we're missing the fact that we have an adversary who's trying to transition the church into a new spirituality, a new world religion. And I think if we don't start delineating the differences between the New Age and traditional Christianity, we're going to really be in trouble. And just, I'll give you an example. Neil Donald Walsh,
Neil Donald Walsh?
Neil Donald Walsh is the co-founder of the Global Renaissance Alliance, and he wrote the books Conversations with God, which are total New Age, New Spirituality.
So he is a New Age leader, so go
ahead. Absolutely, yeah. This is a quote from Neil Donald Walsh, and he says, "The universe does nothing by accident. You can change the course of human history. This is not an exaggeration." Rick Warren, in talking about his peace plan, says, quote, "You are not a part of Saddleback Church by accident. I say this without fear of exaggeration. God is going to use you and all of us together at Saddleback to change history."
All right, how are they going to change history, though?
Well, they're both talking about a peace plan. There are parallel peace plans. The peace plan is an acronym using the letters of the word. And I don't know that Rick Warren even knows that the New Age has their own peace plan and is using an acronym. And they're trying to put their statements like saying that the era of the single Savior is over. They're saying that basically Christians can be Christians, but they have to drop the idea that there is an exclusive Savior.
But now that is not the idea of Rick Warren. That's the that's Mr. Donaldson's idea, isn't it?
That is absolutely the idea of Neil Donald Walsh. But what I'm saying is that Rick Warren and others are not addressing these issues that are being brought up. They're trying to take the Savior out of Christianity, and what Rick Warren and others are not doing, are not delineating the differences. And so they're doing a lot of parallel stuff without saying what the differences are. That's going to be very confusing, especially to some of the young people like that man that just called in.
All right, fine. Well, we've got a gentleman calling in from Ohio. I'm not quite sure what his name is. What was your name?
Bert.
Bert. Hi, Bert. How are you doing?
Hey. Good, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, for your guest. Like the guest you had on earlier, the caller, isn't there a scripture in the Bible about being in the world but not being of the world?
Yes, I believe there is. Yes.
And there's standards that, you know, just because everybody's listening to rock music, let's go ahead and put that into the church. But that's not supposed to be part of the church. I mean, I'm just asking.
What was the question? Is it all right to have rock music in the church? Because, of course, the kids love it and we can get the kids in that way? Is that
no,
the question?
No, I'm just saying, just because the secular world is listening to rock music, you shouldn't try to incorporate it into the church, because that's not of the world.
All right, would you like to respond then to what Bert's saying? He doesn't think maybe there should be rock music in the church, and yet so many of the both Catholic and Protestant churches have brought that rock music in.
You know, I think the only thing I would say is that when I first came into the church, I was surprised that the old hymns had just disappeared, and the old hymns had a lot of doctrine in the music. And there's a lot of tradition there, and a lot of the tradition is being thrown out in today's present-day so-called postmodern 21st century church. And tradition is not a bad thing. The traditions of man are not good, but the traditions of the church, traditions of doctrine are really important. So I'm not sure if you have some other callers that want to talk about what we're talking about, which is the New Age implications of the purpose-driven church.
Isn't that what's hurting the church today and hurting God's people today? That they're trying to be like, you know, the world with the music and with, you know, if it feels good, let's do it.
That's exactly it. Thanks very much, Bert. We gotta go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thanks so much for calling, and I think Bert is absolutely right on. The church is trying to be everything to everybody. And, of course, as an earlier caller was talking about, well, people are offended by the blood, this idea of washed in the blood. And yet, of course, you have to understand the Old Testament. And, of course, the Jews believed that they could obtain a salvation and forgiveness of their sins by sacrificing an animal. Of course, it was the blood of the animal, the shedding of blood that brought salvation. Well, of course, when Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God, and it was his blood that gave us salvation. And this is what's not being taught today, as the similarities between the message of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Warren, we're going to have, a couple hours on Friday, but we're out of time right now. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll tell people about how they can get your book. Do you have a website?
I don't. They can get it through discernment-ministries.com.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Gift and Fudge House manufactures the best fudge in the world. They've discovered a secret recipe, and it allowed them to actually make the creamiest and most delicious fudge you're going to find anywhere. They also have a sugar-free type of fudge that has a great creamy taste, and yet it's safe for diabetics. The fudge is made daily, and there are over 30 to 40 different flavors in the store every single day. Midwest Fudge makes a perfect gift for any occasion, and makes even a better treat for you. It's shipped out daily, so you're always guaranteed the freshest fudge, so why not place your order by calling 866-526-5419, that's 866-526-5419, or visit their website at www.worldfamousfudge.com. That's worldfamousfudge.com. Your order will be shipped out the next day, and of course, they're open 7 days a week. Why don't you stop by and visit them there from 9 in the morning until 9 in the evening? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just point out that Governor Schwarzenegger has signed a bill that will have forced fluoridation of water all across the state. So if you really don't want yourself, you don't want to be drinking fluoridated water. Why? Because it attacks the testosterone in the male, it attacks fertility, it lowers the mentality of your children, it actually makes you more placid. Now, that's why the fluoridated areas were, of course, that's why the Germans fluoridated areas, because to control the population, why the communists abuse this. You have to understand that fluoride is a toxin. It'll attack your endocrine system. You'll get osteoporosis. This is all documented. We have a wonderful four-tape set that goes into that, but what you really need is a Berkey Light, which you can get here in California, with special filters on it to filter that fluoride out. You want to get the fluoride out of your water, and then you want to help us get the truth out about how they are poisoning our children. And I simply ask, why do they want to hurt our children? You need to ask that question too. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners all across America and across the world that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out 5 hours a day across America to tell people the truth. Now, if you'd like to get Warren Smith's great book, It's Deceived on Purpose, and we don't know what Rich Warren's motives are. We just know the end result of what he's doing is changing the teaching of the gospel. And we're getting away from going through the gospel to how do we feel good and get along with our wife and get along with our husband. And of course, we're going to study the gospel, but when we've got so many gospels, how can we say that any of them is really the word of God? And maybe there isn't any word of God out there. After all, there's so many translations, especially when you read the Message, and you find all these New Age terms in it. Maybe those are the real gospel coming right out of the New Age. And so what we're doing is confusing people about Christianity, and that music they brought in doesn't do any good at all, because most of the praise songs, like a mantra, you repeat them over and over and over again, just like you do, when you're going into a trance, you're going to be hypnotized. It all has to do with repetition, and you open your mind for the message. We have a great video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You need to get that in the 4-hour or the 10-hour version. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Warren Smith's book, Deceived on Purpose. We recommend that. We have a great video called Diapracts in the Church. We have a four-tape set called The Church Growth Movement, another four-tape set called The Apostate Church. And believe me, we're moving away from the traditional teachings into the teachings of the new Christianity. And I fear there is a great apostasy sweeping across America, sweeping across the world. And of course, we may only be preaching the remnant. But of course, as long as God gives us breath, we'll be here. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Give serious consideration to going to our website. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one, but go to our website. You can pull down our newsletters there. You can see the various items we have, including the big Berkey products or Berkey Light. If you get any of the Berkey products through us, well, you'll get a free video or four-tape set. You can listen to our programs there directly or indirectly 5 hours a day on the Internet and not get much of anything accomplished, but you'll sure get a lot of education on a lot of different subjects. Let me remind you about the four-tape set on water fluoridation, the four-tape set on mercury, the four-tape set on aspartame, which is responsible for the epidemic of obesity we're seeing, and so many other things. They're all poisons. They're all in our food. We carry that great new book, Seeds of Deception, about the genetically created foods, and you really need to understand what they've done. Have you ever wondered why suddenly we're getting all these animal diseases? We never used to get bird diseases and animal diseases. We're getting them now. Why? A direct product of genetic engineering, because they have to put something in there to get it from one species to another, and then it escapes. And there's many things that we're doing in silence, science that I think are preparing for a great plague to sweep our land. But Seeds of Deception by Jeremy Smith, a great book which we carry. Again, the four-tape set on fluoride, the four-tape set on mercury, the four-tape set on aspartame and MSG, which are poisons, excitotoxins that lead to metal deficiency, Alzheimer's disease, and as well as, of course, is the mercury. And if you want the documentation on the fact that if you take your influenza shot and you're over 60, 3 or 4 in 5 years, they give you a 1,000% increase in Alzheimer's disease. So if you want Alzheimer's disease, why go ahead and take your mercury-laden influenza shot. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Remember our November 6th? Program, all-day program here in the Monterey Bay area. Of course, lunch will be served. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our